You're listening to a Catholic news podcast from the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales. Why not use iTunes to subscribe to our podcast? Simply search for Catholic News in the iStore.
So today I am with two friends from Golders Green, whose friendship is particularly important in the light of 50 years of Nostra Aetate. And we have a Catholic-Jewish friendship here. And maybe the two friends, it's best if you actually introduce yourselves. I don't know whether you'd like to go first, Maurice.
Yes, I'm Maurice Michaels, and I'm one of the rabbinic team at the Synagogue Aelith, Northwestern Reform Synagogue. I also have a community part-time in Bournemouth, so I travel backwards and forwards between London and the South Coast.
And Father Tony?
I'm Tony Convery. I'm the parish priest of the Church of St. Edward the Confessor on the Finchley Road in Golders Green, and we're just down the road from Aelith. I've been in the church there for just over 3 years, and in that time we've got to know each other and have begun a few activities together.
And that would have been my first question, actually, a rabbi and a priest. Some might think it sounds a bit like a joke, but it's very much not a joke in your case. How did you two first meet? How did the contact come about?
Do you want me to say?
Yeah.
We're very fortunate in that there is a couple in Golders Green. The wife comes to St. Edward the Confessor as a regular practising Catholic, and her husband goes to Aelith as a regular practicing Jew there. In fact, they also attend each other's services, so we see the husband and Maurice also sees the wife. But it was that couple who really laid the foundation, and they introduced us to each other.
Oh, that's lovely.
And have been, in fact, very helpful in the things that we've done together.
We often find that couples who marry from different religions can be quite a blessing to their communities, actually, in that way.
In this case, that's certainly true.
Certainly this is the case with them. I've got to say that my usual experience is that with interfaith couples, one of them tends to let go of their faith. Mm-hmm. But in this particular case, both of them are very, very strong. And we really, I suppose, made the connection because unfortunately they suffered a distressing loss of a son. And we both found ourselves trying to support. You couldn't support just one, you had to support the couple, which we were both doing.
And this has really blossomed into something, hasn't it? You've done a few things together since in the last 3 years. Maybe tell us a little bit about that.
We've had an occasional series of debates, discussions, call them what you will, where we brought members of the synagogue and the church together to talk about particular topics from the perspective of the two faiths. We've been actually quite good, I think, because we haven't done the usual sort of everybody can agree with everything type of approach. We've really taken potentially controversial topics, but they've actually gone down really very, very well. And there's a blossoming of a friendship between members of the two communities, not just ourselves.
We started off with reconciliation and how each of the two communities, how they enacted reconciliation among themselves. And then I think we went on to the covenant.
We looked at confession.
That was part of that.
That was a great one. That was great, looking at the sea and the... You see, I anticipated that what we were going to see in confession was something totally and completely different. And in fact, yes, there are differences, but there's an awful lot which is very similar.
We looked at covenant, the original covenant, and how we understood that, and also what is the original Jewish understanding of that. That was an interesting one. And then we went on to, it was the afterlife, wasn't it?
Yeah.
The afterlife was an interesting one.
And again, quite a lot of similarities. Sometimes I get the feeling that the members of the two communities come together, and listening to us speaking is the chore that they have to go through before they can meet and talk and drink tea and coffee and eat cake.
Our community has actually gone to a synagogue. I mean, it might seem a simple thing to do, but most of our parishioners had never been inside a synagogue.
Yeah.
And of course the same applies with many of our members who had never been inside the church.
Oh, that's right.
The church, I was fortunate enough to attend the 100th anniversary of the church just a few months ago, the special service there. So it's an old church and there's a huge amount of interesting stuff there. And my members were fascinated by it because although the synagogue's been running for 80 years, we don't have a sort of a cathedral-type building. It's a relatively modern building. But, of course, we do have all of the different Jewish artefacts, which I was delighted to be able to introduce to Tony's congregation.
I think that's really the most important part, is that people get to know each other and that they don't see them just as a category, but actually as people.
As individuals.
Yeah.
And what would you say individually from each other? What's sort of the most fascinating or the most inspiring thing that you've learned about each other's faith or about each other's practice?
Well, I think the strength, I mean, and I see this actually all around Golders Green, is the strength of the family life. And that's certainly true at Aylif, but we have a number of other synagogues too where you can see it's very evident that family life is very strong, very supported by the structures of the synagogue. And that's been really uplifting, really.
So something that we'd relate to is also the concept of a home church, a sort of strong faith within the family and strong bond.
But also I think our families are facing real pressures nowadays, which are bearing down upon them. I mean, the whole question of can you afford to live in London and in Golders Green? Our families are under a lot of pressure in that regard.
Mm-hmm. And support each other. Yeah.
I mean, that's true also for the Jewish community. You know, our younger people are moving out of the area because they just can't afford to live there. But I think what I've found from Tony and his community, apart from the ritual, and I do like ritual, it's, you know, although I'm a rabbi of a Reformed synagogue, my background is Orthodox, and so that ritual is important to me. So there's that sense of ritual. And yet, and I think it's perhaps is more Tony than the community, he has a way which makes everything seem today's issue, a modern approach to things. He's also very down to earth. Now, it's a pleasure to actually see him working his community, as it were, walking around and talking to them all and so on. It's lovely.
So it keeps coming back to relationships, doesn't
it? Of course it does.
Really?
Of course it does. The big relationship, I think, was you mentioned at the beginning the Nostra Aetate and the 50th anniversary, and we did have a joint ceremony to mark that occasion.
Oh, right.
We did it at the synagogue.
That was great.
And that was really great. And we had both choirs singing, and a lot of people attended from both communities. It was really a super, super occasion.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
So would you say that you actually find that sort of what I suppose we call broadly church teaching, you know, Nostra Aetate documents, speeches that the popes make, our pope at the moment makes, do you sense an impact for yourself or your communities? Does it change relationships?
I think you can overestimate what a statement does, because, I mean, I can only... It's 50 years since that document came out, and I knew about it at the time, but to be honest, until I came to Golders Green, it hadn't impacted very much on me. But it does clear the ground. You do need leadership to say what is the direction. And it may take 50 years before, finally, everybody comes into that frame of thinking. But you need the statements. But at the end of the day, it is back to people have got to get to know each other.
I think that we've had 50 years of talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
We need now to move into the next phase, which is actually working together, doing things together, making a difference in our society together. The time for talking, if you like, has elapsed. I think that Pope Francis has been a breath of fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
I was fortunate enough a couple of years ago to do some teaching at the Pontifical Gregorian University in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I taught on the master's program in Jewish studies. in that guise, I was able to meet with Catholic priests, educators, theologians, and they all felt that Pope Francis was going to bring something new, a new dimension, a new perspective to the church. And I think so far he's certainly done that. So I look forward personally to watching with great interest
many more years of him.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been really lovely having you here, and it's nice to hear the friendship you have and the way you talk about your initiatives and your relationships. So maybe just as a final short word, if anyone's listening who's trying to bring their synagogue, bring their church to build similar relationships to you, what would you say to them? Just one, a few quick words of wisdom, maybe.
I would say just talk to somebody who you know to be in another community and just get to know them as a person first of all, but then that will lead you to understand their faith better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You have to create the rapport, because you can't start working until you actually have trust and an affection and a real relationship. And I think that's where Tony and I, we've done that over a number of years now, mm-hmm. so that we know we can sort of move forward with our next event, which will be in April.
Yes, that's right.
Many more as we go into the future.
Brilliant. So the next 50 years, we'll keep building relationships. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.